Dennis Howard Marks was a Welsh drug smuggler and an author who achieved notoriety as an international cannabis smuggler through high-profile court cases. At his peak, he claimed to have been smuggling consignments of the drug as large as 30 tons and was connected with groups as diverse as the CIA, the IRA, MI6 and the Mafia. He was eventually charged by the US Drug Enforcement Administration, convicted and given a 25-year prison sentence. He was released in April 1995 after serving 7 years. Though he had up to 43 aliases, he became known as Mr. Nice after he bought a passport from convicted murderer Donald Nice. After his release from prison, he published a best-selling autobiography, Mr. Nice, in 1996 and campaigned publicly for changes in drug legislation. Mark was born in Kenfig Hill near Brigend, Wales, the son of Dennis Marks, a captain in the Merchant Navy, and Edna, a teacher. Brought up as a Baptist, he later turned to Buddhism, though he did not become a devout follower. He attended Grow Grammar School in Pontycymer. He is a fluent Welsh speaker. For people listening to this, there are some Welsh words in here, Welsh place names. Do not expect me to get them right. He gained a place in Balliol College, Oxford, after he impressed Russell Meads in his interview, and read physics there from 1964 to 1967. At the university, he was first introduced to cannabis by Dennis Irving. After his friend Joshua Macmillan, son of Morris Macmillan, died, Mark swore off ever getting involved with hard drugs. Among his other friends at Oxford were epidemiologist Julian Petto and journalist Lynn Barber. Through a mixture of cheating and last-minute cramming, he passed his finals, despite months of taking drugs rather than attending classes and a serious infection he had developed a few weeks before the exams. In 1967, he began teacher training and married Izzy Kadegis, a Latvian student at St. Anne's College, Oxford, who was also training to become a teacher. He gave up teacher training to continue his education at the University of London, then back at Balliol College in Oxford, and then on to the University of Sussex to study philosophy of science. Mark's daughter, Amber Marks, is a barrister and pharmaceutical expert. Though involved with drugs at university, he sold cannabis only to his friends or acquaintances until 1970, when he was persuaded to assist Graham Plinston, who had been arrested in Germany on drug trafficking charges. Through Plinston, he met Mohammed Durrani, a Pakistani hashish exporter who was a descendant of the Durranis who had run Afghanistan in the 19th century. With Plinston behind bars, Durrani offered Marks the opportunity to sell the drugs on a large scale in London, and he agreed to the proposition. He formed a four-way partnership with Charlie Radcliffe, Charlie Weatherly, and a dealer named Jarvis. Durrani never contacted them, and so the group acquired small quantities of hashish from various sources and began selling the drug in Oxford, Brighton, and London. After 6 months, he returned to Germany to help bail Plinston out of jail. Marx was a useful means of transferring money as he did not have a criminal record. Now a free man, Plinston gave Marx a job transporting hashish in Frankfurt. Mark in turn hired a New Zealand smuggler named Lang as a driver. After paying Marx £5,000 for his work in Frankfurt, Plinston sold hashish to Marx and his three friends, Ratcliffe, Weatherly and Jarvis, in London. In selling 650 kg or £1,430 within a week, the four men made a profit of 20 grand. Durrani then arranged for hashish to be smuggled in the furniture of Pakistani diplomats who were moving to London. Marx would then intercept the furniture to find the drugs. This arrangement netted them a profit of £7,500. Marks expanded his enterprise, employing two friends from Wales, Mike Bell and David Thomas, to stash the drugs and help with transportation. The gang became dissatisfied with the way the profits were being split. 80% of the money they made went to Durrani, and contacted James McCann, a gunrunner for the Provisional Irish Republican Army, or IRA. Marks and Plinston persuaded McCann to smuggle hashish into Ireland from Kabul, which the pair would then ferry over to Wales and into England. McCann would get the drugs into Ireland through the free port of Shannon Airport using his IRA connections. Max avoided the attention of the HM Revenue and Customs by creating a paper trail that indicated he made his money from selling stamps and dressings. By 1972, he was making £50,000 with each shipment. By the end of the year, he was approached by Hamilton Macmillan of the Secret Intelligence Service, MI6, a friend from Oxford University who recruited Max to work for MI6 because of his connections in the hashish-producing countries of Lebanon, Pakistan, and Afghanistan, for his abilities to seduce women, and for his contacts with the IRA. The next year, Max began exporting cannabis to the United States to the Brotherhood of Eternal Love, hiding the drugs in the music equipment of fictional British pop groups that were supposed to be touring the country. He further expanded his operations with other smugglers and other methods of trafficking, often using his Oxford connections. As McCann was in danger of being executed by the IRA should MI6 tip them off about his involvement in drugs, Max then gave up the smuggling operation at Shannon Airport. Following the Little John affair, MI6 ceased their relationship with Max. While his American operation came to an end after police opened the speaker full of cannabis and arrested gang member James Gator, leading to other arrests in Europe. Max was arrested by Dutch police in 1973 but skipped bail in April 1974. The British press then made him a national known figure, reporting that he was feared abducted by the IRA for his connection with MI6. With most of his fortune confiscated by the authorities, he made his way to Italy, where he lived in a Winnebago for 3 months before returning to England in secret in October 1974. At this point, he began a relationship with Judy Lane. The couple married in 1980 and had 3 children together. He had previously been in a 5-year relationship with Rosie Lewis, with whom he had a daughter. Max then connected Ernie Combs, member of the Brother of Eternal Love, with John Denbigh, a man with connections in the hashish-producing nation of Nepal. With the help of the Yakuza, large quantities of the drug would be exported from John F. Kennedy International Airport in the guise of air conditioning equipment, where Don Brown's mob, headed by Carmine Galante, would then take possession of the drugs. 500 kg or 1,100 pound deal was set up and executed on July 4th, 1975, leaving Max a wealthy man. Other deals up to 750 kg or 1,650 pound followed, and Max continued to live under assumed names in the United Kingdom. In 1976, he travelled to America and set up a 1,000 kg or 2,250 pound deal between Combs and Lebanese Sam, making himself $300,000 in the process. He continued to regularly set up deals between his various American and Far East connections. In need of a new identity after his alias of Anthony Tunnicliffe was compromised in a police sting, in 1978 he bought Donald Nice's passport. In the late 1970s, the Traficante crime family, under the leadership of Santo Traficante Jr., was importing Colombian cannabis into the US on freighter ships, thus driving down the price of drugs on the streets in America. In December 1979, Traficante exported 50 tons of cannabis direct from Colombia to Max and his contacts in the UK, enough to supply the entire British market for the drug for almost a year. In 1980, Max was arrested by customs officers for his part in importing £15 million, that's money, of cannabis. Police had followed associates of the Traficante family to a large stash of cannabis. When arrested, he was in possession of numerous pieces of incriminating evidence, as well as £30,000 in cash. Defended by Lord Hutchinson, Max pleaded not guilty, concocting a story that he was an agent for MI6, concealing the fact that his relation to MI6 ended in 1973, and that the Mexican Secret Service had set up an identity as a drug smuggler for him in order to close in the net on James McCann, wanted in Britain for his IRA activities. The jury found him not guilty of drug smuggling, but guilty of using false passports, and Max was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment, but was released after 5 days, having already served most of his time before sentence was passed. HM Customs then arrested him for his part in the 1973 smuggling operation, but following a plea bargain and time off for remission, he served just 3 months of a 3-year sentence. Released in May 1982, though, with most of his employees still in prison for the crime of which Max had been acquitted, he spent the next year running a legitimate wine importing business, but he continued to spend more money than he was making, and the savings he made from drug smuggling in the 1970s began to dwindle. In 1983, McCann was still at large and his smuggling enterprise was flourishing. He offered Max a chance to sell 250 kg or 550 pounds of cannabis, and Max accepted. Dutch police confiscated the full shipment and arrested Mickey Williams, a member of the London underworld who had agreed to help Max on the deal. Max then travelled to the Far East to set up cannabis deals with Salem Malik, a Pakistani hashish exporter who he had met through Durrani, and Phil Sparrowhawk, an exporter from Bangkok. They would smuggle their product over to Ernie Combs in America. He also arranged for 500 kg or 1,100 pound deal with Mickey Williams, who had travelled to Bangkok after his release from prison in Amsterdam. Max laundered his money through various fronts, a travel agency, a paper mill, a wine importers, a bulk water transportation company, and secretarial services. In 1984, he was approached to sell $300,000 worth of cannabis to a CIA agent looking to fund an armed jihad group in their war against the Soviet occupation. The agent's contact on the APL ship suffered a heart attack and died on the journey to the US, leaving the drugs in the hands of the US officials. The agent subsequently fled to Brazil to avoid prosecution. Though under surveillance, Max continued to expand his underworld operations and set up a massage parlor in a Bangkok hotel with the help of Phil Sparrowhawk and Lord Moynihan. In 1986, he settled in Mallorca and continued to make vast sums smuggling Salem Malik's hashish into America. The DEA were meanwhile tapping Max's phones and keeping him under surveillance, and having arrested Ernie Combs, they came close to busting a large shipment of cannabis. But when Max was tipped off, the ship was redirected to Mauritius and the operation aborted. As he continued to avoid DEA stings, he continued to make millions and continued to add to his underworld contacts, finding that he could use the Chinese triads to launder his drug money more effectively. When friends of his were busted by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Max decided to retire from drug smuggling to concentrate on his legitimate businesses. Citing the fate of his friends and contacts who were either in jail, informing the DEA, or smuggling heavier drugs. In 1988, DEA agent Craig Lovato arrested both Howard and Judy Max and extradited the couple to the United States. Arrests of those involved in Max's various criminal activities were made in Britain, Spain, the Philippines, Thailand, the Netherlands, Pakistan, Switzerland, the United States, and Canada. This was the works of Operation Eclectic, set up in 1986 by both the DEA and Scotland Yard and aided by numerous other law enforcement organizations around the world. Max himself was convicted of racketeering and sentenced to 25 years in jail and given a $50,000 fine. He served 7 years in prison and was released in April 1995. After that, he went on to do acting, some advocacy in politics, books, comics, video games, and even some music. Max was the subject of the biography High Time in 1984, written by David Lee. He was also the subject of the film Mr. Nice in 2010, named after his own 1987 autobiography. And he recounted his story in an episode of the television show Bagged Up Abroad. On the 25th of January 2015, it was announced that Max had inoperable cancer. He died of the disease on the 10th of April 2016 at the age of 70.
If you like that, then listen to our main show every Wednesday on all good podcast providers. It's Alive Alive, the really, really fake true crime horror podcast. All the guts and gore, none of the guilt. See you on Wednesdays.